We're talking about waters of purification, and we've talked about the waters of jealousy, and we've talked about the ashes of the red heifer being intermingled with the running water, and both of them have just been like shots, you know, so that you can have an understanding of what takes place. I've saved the biggie for last, and it's called the cleansing of the leper. Now, in order for the leper to be cleansed, certain things had to be done. It's all chronicled in Leviticus 13 and 14, and there's a whole tract of the Talmud called Negaim, which is it's nothing but about leprosy. But I don't think any of you understand leprosy in terms of what its spiritual meaning is. So we're going to find out what it is. We're going to find out if there's any lepers in here.
I'm going to watch out for that amen, though. I'll tell you that for sure.
Leprosy, in its definition, it's a slowly progressing and intractable disease. It's characterized by subcutaneous nodules, scabs, and crusts on the skin, with shining spots, white shining spots, appearing to be deeper than the skin.
What's subcutaneous?
Below the skin. The hairs of the affected part turn white, and in the latter stages, there is a growth over the leprosy of quick or living raw flesh. So in effect, a leper slowly but surely has his flesh turned inside out. And parts of the body fall off. You know, and it's horrendous. And there's no cure for it, still.
Is it what caused it?
I don't care what caused it. I want you to know what it is. Let's go see. Let's look in the scriptures. Exodus 4. This is the first recorded case of leprosy anywhere. God is talking to Moses. And he's just talked about they're in Egypt. They're still in the world. They don't know anything else but the world. They've been there for how long? 400 years. That's a long time. That's longer than we've been in America. They've been there for 400 years. They have a vague understanding that they may be Israelites. But for a long time, they became... They were the leaders. Israel was the leader. They were the leaders of Egypt. They were the shepherd kings that were descendants of Jacob. Now, they've got a new king over them that knew not Joseph. And he's made them do all kinds of stuff. And everything's going wrong. Everything's messed up. Nothing's going right. Plagues are coming around. They're making bricks without straw. All of their efforts fail. So he chooses a man named Moses, and Moses has gone through all kinds of stuff, and he's been on the desert 40 years, and he doesn't know what the hell's going on. And so now God has the effrontery to come to him and tell him, you're going to be the leader of the people, and you're going to take all of the people that bear my name with you, and you're going to escape from here, and you're going to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And not only that, as you leave this world, the people in the world are going to give you all their jewels and money. You're not going to have to want for anything ever again. You sort of got that ticket? Yeah. You're not going to want for anything ever again. You're never going to live by working for someone else. You're never going to have to live by cause and effect. You're never going to have to worry about reward and punishment in that context. I will be your deliverer. I will be your life. I will be your light. And Moses says, chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, but, behold, they're not going to believe me. Nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. You're a dumb fool. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it to the ground. And he cast it into the ground and became a serpent. And Moses fled.
Oh, what's he going to do with that snake?
This is the hero of faith.
We got to show great pastors. It's time for great pastors. This happened there at the lodge.
And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand. And Moses says, rise.
You thought this through.
And he said, am I really hearing God? Put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. Well, in the scriptures it sounds like, all right, but you got to put yourself in Moses' position.
Say what?
Say what?
Why don't we wait for him to sleep, God?
So anyway, after, you can, I mean, this is faith talking here. We don't know what the, right?
Well, he had to get Moses down off the tree. Yeah. Climbed up the tree. Moses, get out of that tree.
You got it. I mean, you got a feeling for this, right? And he put forth his hand after a short period of time. Depending on your point of view. And caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, have appeared unto thee. Now, why did God do that? Snake and stuff and rod and turn. He did it so that Moses would be aware of the possession that he possessed. Understand? So he wouldn't use usury, as we talked about last night. Spiritual usury. He wouldn't borrow on something he didn't know he owned. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. Now, Moses is really happy now because he's got all his power.
He can start a traveling show.
So he does it quickly and expectantly. Because he thinks something really neat's going to happen. So he put his hand into his bosom. And he pulled out his hand. And we took it out. Behold, his hand was leprous as snow. That's big. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. The water that thou takest shall become blood in the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have I not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, etc., etc., etc. He picked Aaron to be his spokesman. And of course, this, for this, maybe not for this, but for the other apostasy later, he was not permitted to see the promise. But Josephus says that 40 years before this, the reason that Moses was kicked out of Egypt and placed into the desert was that he had leprosy. Maybe just a small spot. And that this act of him having his hand going in to the bosom and pulling out, and it was white as snow, was he already had lepers. But in this act of putting it in, it became totally white. And then he was healed. But I want you to see that in this case, just pay attention to this case for a moment, that from the standpoint of God, leprosy was the fruit of rebellion. Can you understand that?
Because of his unbelief?
Because of his unbelief. Rebellion. Taking a stand. That's what rebellion is to take a stand. You understand that? Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now, you think I'm hard on you. I'm not hard on you. Because, as Larry hinted at, I see the end. I know what we're here for. I don't much give a shit about resolutions of little problems. Some of you are far better at resolving little stuff than I am, because I have absolutely no patience. Most of you have found that out. I care that you're not leprous. That's what I care about. And every single time that one of you has become rebellious, i.e. taking a stand on something that you cannot justify, you have been outside the camp, whether I said you were or not, and you have been as a leprous man or woman. Now let's see what the second recorded instance of leprosy is. Numbers 12. I don't know if I've ever tied rebellion into leprosy before. Huh? Numbers 12. Miriam and Aaron spake against or criticized Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now, what other extra-biblical sources say, he was the first great queen of modern history, of any history, was the queen Hatshepsut. And she was the queen that for the Egyptian Empire conquered everything from Ethiopia to India. And she was the first great queen of history. And remember the scripture that we've always talked about, it, that I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. Hatshepsut was the Pharaoh's daughter that took Abraham took Moses when he was 3 months old out of the water after the Pharaoh had ordered all the kids to be killed. His mother had protected him. So her reward was whatever she wanted. She got sexually the whole known world. Now, Moses was being groomed in the same way that Abraham had been groomed earlier by Nimrod. Abraham was being groomed by Hatshepsut to be the next Pharaoh. His legal title was son of Pharaoh's daughter, which meant that he was heir apparent. He would have been the next Pharaoh. And part of the grooming process was that he led armies. Well, because of his wisdom, he didn't have to defeat the Ethiopians, who were very strong, very mighty in terms of chariots, etc., etc. He instead negotiated a marriage with the Ethiopian princess. And therefore it came under the control of, because he was the man and she was the wife, etc., etc., it came under the control without an arrow being shot. But he did this illegally, by the law, because he'd already was married.
By the law of Egypt or
by the law of Israel. I mean, again, we're looking out of time. Okay. And Miriam and Aaron spake or criticized Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. And we've studied this before. We know that the word meek there means abandoned. He'd abandoned himself more than any man on the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I'll speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Now, it doesn't matter whether they were right, wrong, or indifferent. You understand? And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam and said, oh, shit. Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Now what just happened?
Rebellion.
Rebellion, leprosy. You got it? You see the connection?
Yeah.
Now watch. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us. We have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days. And after that, let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed, not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran.
Because marrying was a woman, is that like a tie?
Yeah, Aaron didn't get it.
Right. I mean, they were both rebellious, but
the woman got it.
She got wafted because it's
right.
The type of being as a
right. And Aaron was the type of the high priest of Jesus.
Why couldn't he become like this type?
Well, he could have, but I mean, it's just in this case, the type was is that they were rebelling against the father, spiritual father Moses. And Aaron continued the perfection of the type of the high priest of Jesus Christ.
By interceding there?
Yeah. Now, rebellion is extremely dangerous. Now, because of the structure and what we're about, most of your individualized rebellion has been against me. Some more than others. And the instant that you are in a state of rebellion, you secretly believe that I'm out to do you harm. But see, I'm meaningless. We saw from the rebellion at Korah, where later on in Numbers, where all these guys did was say the same thing, essentially. You know, God speaks to us too. Now, that's why I keep telling you over and over that I'm not here to tell you what to do, because then God would kill me. You understand me? Now, some of you think I tell you what to do.
I lost something there. Is that what Miriam and Aaron wanted to do, was tell people what to do?
They were saying that, yeah, because they criticized
Moses.
Legitimately, that's the point of this.
Oh.
They criticized him legitimately. And
he didn't meet up to their expectations because he's married to an Ethiopian woman.
Well, yeah, but then it says, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken by us also? Mm-hmm. Now, all of this, still, we got a hand. It was probably a right hand. We got a right hand that's leprous. And now we got a lady that's leprous. Both cases, they were healed.
That's really
by a miracle. What?
That when it says if her father but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days?
Yeah, shame meaning outside the camp.
But I mean, what's the deal about spitting?
And don't worry about that. It's issues. It's unclean. Touching
like
the unclean thing.
If even a small thing had happened, she'd still have to go outside the camp. You know. So let's, even though she's healed and everything's okay, let's let her get outside the camp and then come back in.
Okay, now go to 2 Kings. Chapter
5. Moses blows me away.
Everybody find 2 Kings? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings.
This last event is another point of not judging after the appearances.
You know, this is in the time of Elisha. Now, Elijah got taken up, right? Two men in history. Elijah got transfigured, or at least taken up. Enoch got taken up. But before Elijah got taken up, a double mantle, again, a double mantle went on Elisha. A whole bunch of this good stuff. Anointing.
Yeah, power.
Power. So now we're in the days of Elijah. There's a guy in Syria. Well, let's read it. Now Nahum, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now, the idea here is that if he wasn't a leper while he was doing all that stuff, but he did all that stuff and then got leprosy. You understand? And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited or served Nahum's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." This is this little maid heard something about Elisha. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." So the king of Syria is now big dude this time. I mean, he's powerful. He's sending a letter to the king of Israel. You got it? And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Nahum my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." Now, I don't want to study that yet, but we're going to come back to that in later times. But I want you to see that the king of Israel, who knew of Elisha, who knew of all of the history of everything that had taken place, thought that it would take, that it was essentially impossible to heal someone of leprosy.
Who was the king at this time? Who was
it? I can't even say his name.
Jerry.
It's a J word.
King Jerry.
Now, Just, I mean, you got to visualize this. Here is Syria, big time powerful, sending a letter to the king, innocent request. Not only is sending him a letter, he's sending him all kinds of gifts. And the king's response is, he is so freaked out, he thinks that this is a ruse to set up so that the king of Israel would take over, the king of Syria would take over the king of Israel. The idea is that at this time, no one thought that leprosy was possible to be healed. You got that?
Yeah, it's kind of like, "Come and heal me of AIDS."
Right. Okay. Now we're gonna come back and see this whole story and see what happens. But I want to set the stage here. Now let's go to 2 Kings 15. You interested in this stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. 2 Kings 15.
Oh, he's my favorite king. The name is Champagne by that.
Jeroboam?
Mm-hmm. The size of the Bible. It's the biggest one there.
He had a long run.
Do you understand, everything in Kings is also in Chronicles, and let's go to Chronicles. It's a little more complete. Second Chronicles 26.
So why did God waste all that space by putting both kings and prophets?
Because there's very, very important differences.
What did you say, God?
I figured.
2 Kings 26.
Second Chronicles.
I mean, 2 Chronicles 26, I'm sorry.
Second Chronicles 26.
Uzziah was a king of Israel, and he was 16 when he became king. And he was a really neat king. I mean, he did all kinds of humanitarian things. He did all kinds of the right things before God. He was a neat king. Okay? Now, he was. They defeated all kinds of stuff. They defeated all kinds of enemies. Neat stuff was going on in his kingdom. Everybody was prosperous. Everybody was happy. Everybody thought Uzziah was a pretty neat dude. Okay, now go to verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him. And with 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. And Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, hallelujah, that leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And as Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence, yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in his several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now, go to Leviticus 13. We're going to study all of Leviticus 13 and 14, but right now we're just going to look at verse 43. Leviticus 13, 43. Now, 42.
We can skip.
And if there be in the bald head or the hairless portion of the forehead, a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or in his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of his flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean, the priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean, for his plague is in his head. Now, to be utterly unclean meant, if you're just unclean and had leprosy, you went to a camp with a bunch of other lepers. But if you are utterly unclean, you are cut off from the people and forever alone. Now, what did Uzziah do? He was the king. And all he did was take a censer and desire to place the incense on the altar of incense. Now, I haven't taught you this before because it'll scare the holy bejesus out of you, I hope. All that Uzziah did in the natural was to ascribe a thought that he had as his own. You understand me? In the temple, You are the temple of God. In the temple, the altar of incense is nothing more than your thoughts. 24 hours a day, all your thoughts. All Uzziah did is all you have ever done up to this point. And that is to ascribe, by taking the censer and wanting to burn the incense himself, to ascribe a thought in the temple as your own. And for that, you are utterly cut off forever, always and ever alone.
Each man is censor in his own.
Do you understand me? That, from God's standpoint, is the sin of rebellion. Now please, please hear me. If you don't understand me, say so now. Ezekiel 8. Start in verse 7:23. Ezekiel 7:23. Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall be upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest, and counsel from the ancients. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their own way, and according to their deserts will I judge them. Excuse me, according to their deserts will I judge them. And they shall know that I am the Lord. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire. From the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward is the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand, and took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me, and the vision of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And the Lord, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Now remember, he's out in Babylon. Then he said unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward, at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy sat in the entry. And he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. Now what he's doing is the same. God is looking through the eyes of Ezekiel, the prophet, warring no longer against flesh and blood. He's looking into your mind. You understand me? The forehead in, as we'll see throughout the scriptures, I'll show you in great detail, the forehead is always symbolic of the part of you which is depicted, which has purpose, will, mind. You understand? And he brought me to the door of the court. Now, again, we war no longer against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual wickedness in the high place. What's the matter, Denise? You're in Guam.
I was in Guam.
I know. What's going on?
Well, nothing really.
Well, get out of Guam.
Okay.
Right now, he's bringing you to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Now, the hole in the wall is your weaknesses, the problems that you've had. You understand? You don't like it. You've tried all these years to daub that hole in the wall with your own untempered mortar. And every time you get madder in hell at me if I blow a hole in your wall. When I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig. Now if the hole is there, dig. If you see the hole, dig. Now in the wall, and when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing, and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. That's simply the things that are going on in your subconscious mind, the idols of brass, of stone, of gold, of silver, of wood, of hay and stubble, portrayed on your wall. Your graven images, where you have the ideas of what you think things should be. The molten images, which are your emotional response to stimulus. Every one of them has but one function, and that is to separate you from the one eternal fact that you are one with God and never have been separate. But this lie has raised himself from the dead, from the deadly head wound, and is there. And all you do is pay attention to it and give it God's name. And there stood before them the 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And those 70 men in you are simply the... There is not one value system, there is not one thought that you have that's your own. It's the thoughts of these 70 men, the elders of your great false Sanhedrin in your head. You understand? You're a hunk of protoplasm that has no identity, no function, no reality save that which someone else told you. Now do you understand why abandonment of self is necessary? Now watch. And in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Saphan, and every man his censer in his hand. And a thick cloud of incense went up. Every man was trying to do his own censer, his own thoughts. Every man was believing that his thoughts were his thoughts. You understand me? The same thing as Uzziah did. Then he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. And he goes on and on. But that's what you see when you are in a position where you believe that you're being put upon. You believe and say that the Lord has forsaken this earthen vessel. And at the moment that temptation takes place, that instant you take the censer in your hand, the same as Uzziah did. And for that he was struck immediately in the presence and in the sight of the priests with leprosy in the forehead. You understand me? Okay, now go to Jeremiah 3. Can everybody say amen to all this?
Jeremiah
3. Well, let's start up a little bit further. Jeremiah 2:35. Yep, well, then go 33. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? In other words, why do you keep changing yourself? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all of these. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Now you see, you could get by with that until tonight. You could get by with thinking that your thoughts were your own until tonight. You could be innocent. Because without revelation, you're perishing anyway. You're just a dumb sperm cell that's running around thinking he's something. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy ways? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. Yet thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thine head, for the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt no longer prosper in them. The word confidences is the same thing as in Matthew, mammon. Whatsoever you have had confidence in has been your mammon. And you cannot from this moment forward serve God in mammon.
It refers to Egypt and Assyria there.
Babylon and the world.
Okay.
The false religion, the fault, and you're religious every time you think in terms of cause and effect from God's standpoint.
I just checked.
You understand me? Then they say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man, shall she return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? Now you've all, every one of you has agreed the last time we met that you were guilty of adultery because you are married to, betrothed to God himself. And you've gone elsewhere for your wine and your oil and your food and your shelter and everything else. Now watch. Shall not thy land be greatly polluted, but thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Now he's saying, I don't care about that. Now return unto me, saith the Lord. Now return unto me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been laying with. Find me a place you have not played the adulterer. And the ways thou hast thou sat for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden. Remember, the showers are always revelation. That's what it means. The showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. Latter rain is the what? Yeah, but it's the revelation with the clarity of a perfectly cast bell. It's that perfect eloquence where there's no shadow, where it's that tone, i.e. the revelation, which is the tune of the one song. You understand me? It's the perfectly cast bell that makes the perfect tone. And we as a body, as we together, each make that perfect tone of a perfectly cast bell. Then experience as a body the latter rain, and in that we are singing the new song. And the moment we start no longer practicing, but the moment we sing that new song shall set up a harmonic which will cause time and space to end. Now, as I said outside, this stuff is so wild that you have got to come to the conclusion that I am either the craziest man you have ever met in the world, or it's true. There can be this is not negotiable. And I won't negotiate with you about any point of it. Therefore, the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. And thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Now what is a whore's forehead? It means you have to earn something. What's the fruit of thinking you have to earn something? You have your own thoughts and your own ways, which is taking Uzziah literally. You understand? If you think you have to earn something, then you will automatically have to think your own thoughts. You've tried to figure out a way to get it. Am I communicating?
Yeah.
All right. It's His good pleasure to pour out upon you all things freely. All things. As soon as the whore's forehead is removed, as soon as the leprous spot is seen for what it is, as soon as you... Okay, watch. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, My Father, thou art the guide of my youth? That sounds real religious. All that says is, thou hast always been me. Thou hast always been my thoughts. Thou hast always been, and I will never believe in that separation again. Thou art the guide of my youth. That means that you have never been away from Him. You have never had a thought that was separate from Him. It's only this Antichrist that has caused you to think you have had separate thoughts. Thou, hear me, wilt thou not, again, he's begging you. In the Spirit, God is on his knees right now begging you and saying, wilt thou not from this time and forevermore cry unto me, my Father, thou art the only guide of my youth. Can you possibly feel what I'm talking about? Not understand it, feel it. Experience what you know. You've never been separate. That everything that has taken place had to take place exactly as it has. It's always been Him. It can never be anything but Him. Why gaddest thou about to change your way? Only one reason. Because you believe the one lie. But the whole world is lying in deception of that one lie. Will He reserve His anger forever? Will He keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. Evil meaning? What? Believing the original lie. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, judging for yourself degrees of goodness or badness, good and evil, right and wrong. I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that. When are you going to just live? Now, what time?
You said that behold the sacrifice of life at the door of the
king. From the very beginning.
And I ended up feeling that it was right there in the way between going into that, before you went into that abomination, before you entered into that.
There's a whole, we've got some more. I'm afraid I'll blow you away if I say anything else. What?
We never got back to that guy who had leprosy, and the king said, come heal me. Yeah.
Well, we're going to spend several days on leprosy.
This is like, I'm
going
to
be left hanging.
Good.
I want to break it off of that. Well, next time we meet,
have fun. No, I mean, the story's always the same.
Same back channel. This is the cliffhanger of the story.
You don't have a sense of it. You don't have the right. You are standing before the Father and before the brethren right now and forevermore. Perfect, forgiven, accepted, holy, innocent. free. God, from this moment forth, is obligated, as we are obligated to each other, to treat you as his own flesh. Because he treats me as his own flesh, I there in a covenant have to treat you as my own flesh. You have, your warfare is forever, totally completed. You don't have to believe the lie any longer. Wait until we study Revelation with regard to this. You, this night, have defeated the beast, his name, and the number of his name. You may not understand it yet. But read Revelation with those three victories. Do you have a need? Speak it. Because you know that those three witnesses in heaven, the Spirit, the Word, and the Father, and those three are one, are now in agreement with the three witnesses in earth, the blood, the water, and the Spirit, and these three are one. And now we are joining that massive amount of force, the force that created the universe, in one. Now we'll see, all of you have been guilty of leprosy. All of you have been guilty of total rebellion. But you have to trust me in this one, that Christ took those waters and purified you just as much as he drank the cup and did everything else. All you have to do is know it. But don't believe the lie of your idiot minds any longer. Don't come at me with sincerity ever again. Don't come at me telling me, oh, I wished I were different. You think I've been mean before? You ain't seen nothing yet. Amen?
So be it.
I don't know about that.
So be it.
So be it. We got amen.
Okay. Anybody have anything to say? You understand a little bit? Margaret, you understand it?
What?
Are you kidding?
It's so simple. It's simple. Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity which is in Christ Jesus. He is your life. You can be nothing but that. From now and forevermore. You can't have your own thoughts. It's impossible. Whatsoever you see the Father do, you will do. Whatsoever you think, you will do. Don't judge it for yourself anymore. Ever again. Now when you know that the Father hears you, when you know that these three witnesses have agreed in heaven and in earth, in your earth as one, then you know something. You know that the Father heareth you. And when you know that the Father heareth you, whatsoever you ask, you know that it's already been done. Hallelujah. Take it big.